In the name of God, the Creator, Liberator, and Sustainer of the universe. Amen. In every parish in which I have had the privilege to serve, people, generally speaking, love Easter. They love it for about 2 weeks. And then they want to get back to normal. In the New Testament, the disciples in the beginning are a lot like us. John's Gospel, they have been faced with resurrection. And Peter says, well, I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to go fishing. Disciples, you may remember, made their living by fishing. That's what they did. So after the announcement has been made to them by the women that Jesus is risen, they ponder these things, they think about them, and then they say, let's go back to what we knew. Let's go back to that place where we knew the score. Let's go back to where we understand things the way they were. Let's try to get back to business as usual. There is a tendency that is found in the human person to always want to resist being transformed. There is that resistance to moving out of the old way, even if the old way is death. There is that resistance. I want to go back to the way it used to be. I want to go back to where I was sure what was going to happen. Back to business as usual. Jesus has been raised. The disciples are confused. They're disturbed. They don't know what to do. They've come to see, and this is critical in their transformation, they've come to see that God is not Santa Claus. God is not in the business of granting wishes. God is in the business of raising the dead, many of whom don't want to be raised. They had rather stay in the old dispensation because at least there they feel comfortable and at home. So let's just stay there. Let's just go back fishing. They're a lot like we are. Let's just do it the way we always did it. That's probably the best way. In John's theology, in the 21st chapter of John's Gospel, our Gospel reading for this morning, there are two things of great importance that John wants you to know. Number one is that Christianity is a revealed religion. A revealed religion primarily means that because we can't get to God, God comes to us. Because we can't get to God, God comes to us. And secondly, John wants you to know that the risen Christ will not leave you alone. That the risen Christ will not leave you alone. Peter says, let's go back to what we know. So the disciples, they go back to the Sea of Tiberias. They get their boats. They go fishing. John tells us that they fished all night and they didn't catch anything. Now, I'm sure I've told you before in sermons that in the New Testament, even though the disciples are fishermen, they never catch anything unless Jesus instructs them. They never catch fish unless Jesus instructs them. Now, John's gospel operates on different levels, and in a minute we'll see one of these levels. But, you know, this analogy of fishing is not just about fishing. You know, it's about you're going to be catching fish here, right, but you're also going to be fishing for human beings. You're going to be engaged in a little different work later on. The disciples, they don't catch anything doing it the way they always did it. They only begin to catch something when Jesus instructs them. It's a lesson that church planners ought to take very seriously. Okay? And church growth people ought to take very, very seriously. Well, they've been fishing all night. They haven't caught anything. Jesus shows up on the beach. They're not too far off from the beach. Jesus says to them, children, you haven't caught anything, have you? No, we haven't, they say. And then he instructs them. He says, put the net down the right side. They follow the instructions. They still don't know who he is. You know, you remember when Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, she didn't physically recognize him, but when he spoke, she knew his voice. Peter doesn't. Peter doesn't get it, okay? They put down the net and they bring in fish. Now, John will tell you later on there were 153 fish in the net. When John wrote his gospel, there were 153 known nations in the world. So John's saying, people from all over the world are going to be in this net, okay? That's what he wants you to know. Jesus says to the disciples, put down the right side, the net's full. And then the beloved disciple says, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. It's Jesus on the beach. It's the resurrected Jesus who is there. Then Peter engages in one of those acts. One of the reasons we love Peter, you know, he's on the boat, he doesn't have any clothes on, so he decides he's going to go in the water. So I say, Peter put his clothes on, jumps in the water. Sort of a typical action part of Peter. He's running to the shore. The other disciples bring the boat in, and when they get to the shore, Jesus has built a fire, and he barbecues fish. And they have breakfast. And they eat. Now it's important to note that the disciples didn't find Jesus. Jesus found them. The disciples didn't find Jesus. He found them. They had gone back to their old ways. They had gone back to their work. They had gone back to their fishing. Jesus finds them, and in the midst of their work, he gives them a new work. He gives them a new work. Their work is to be transformed. They are not just going to fish for fish, but they're going to fish for people. And he tells them, "You are to feed my sheep." Which means you are to proclaim God's universal love to the whole world. You are to become instruments of those who are so beaten down that they believe that God doesn't care. You will be instrumental in allowing them to know that God loves them. you will be instrumental in letting those know, those who believe that the chains that they bear can never be broken, that God even now is in the process of setting them free. You are to do this work. You are to feed my sheep. It is a new day for the disciples. It is a new day. The disciples are able to see the resurrected Lord, because the resurrected Christ came to them. They were in the midst of doing their work. They had gone back to sort of hide out. They had gone back to the old ways. Jesus comes to them. Jesus reconstructs their world. Reconstructs their world, enables them to see differently, to move in a new direction. John wants you to know also that the resurrected Christ is free and roaming in the world. Is free and roaming in the world. And that you should look for him. You should look for him not just in church, for example, but you should look for him on the beach. You should look for him when you are fishing. You should look for him when you are eating breakfast, even. You should look for him when you are at your work, when you are in your classroom. Because the risen Christ comes to you in the world. The risen Christ comes to you and enables you to see who he is. The modern world likes to talk a lot about sustaining belief. And we like to think that when we work things out in terms of our own belief systems, that we decide what we're going to do about faith. But that's not an understanding that's present in the New Testament. The disciples come to believe because Jesus comes to them. He comes to them, he feeds them, he opens their eyes, and they see. They were moving in an opposite direction. In the 9th chapter of Acts, our first reading this morning, Saul, who is to become Paul, is on a mission of killing Christians. He is not looking for Jesus. He's looking for Christians to arrest, put in jail, and kill. And he encounters the resurrected Christ. And his life is transformed. Now, when Jesus appears to Paul, Jesus doesn't say to Paul, "Now, Paul, do you believe in the triune nature of the Trinity?" He does not say to Paul, "Paul, do you understand the doctrine of resurrection and atonement?" He shows up, he knocks him to the ground, says, "I'm giving you a new name and a new job. Conversion is always a call to mission. The only kind of conversion that's known in the New Testament is a call to mission. And if you can't identify the mission you're on right now, in New Testament terms, you're in big trouble. Because revelation and call are one thing. If you know the resurrected Christ, you know what you've been called to do. And you know that because the resurrected Christ will not let you go, will not let you go. So tomorrow, wherever you find yourself, whether in the office, a classroom, looking for a job, fishing, barbecuing on the beach, remember that what the gospel lesson wanted you to know today was that the resurrected Christ is looking for you. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, seeks you out and will find you. Will find you. No matter where you're trying to hide out, will find you, reveal himself to you, and say the following: follow me. That's what it means. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Follow me. You know, the first words that Jesus said to the disciples in John's Gospel are, follow me. The last words he says to them, in our reading today, the last words he says to them is, follow me. That's what it means. That's what it means to be a disciple, is you follow Jesus. We live in a world in which we like to think that we are pretty much in charge of everything, including God. We like to create our own gods to believe in. We even use language such as, I took Jesus into my heart. Well, in the New Testament, you don't take the resurrected Christ anyplace, even into your heart. The resurrected Christ takes you places. The resurrected Christ takes you places, and often takes you to places that you would normally never have gone if it hadn't been that on some beach he appeared to you. That in the midst of some meal he came to you. And your eyes were open and you saw in a different way. Now there's no guarantee where those places are going to be that the resurrected Christ takes you. But there is one thing you can be pretty sure about. It won't be back to the old order. It won't be back to that normalcy that you long for so much. It will be to a reconstructed, resurrected, new reality. Follow me, he said. Follow me. Let there be peace among us, and let us not be instruments of our own or anyone else's oppression. Amen.